design that'll be on the t-shirts, and we want to encourage you to be a part of Restore-a-thon. I'm not going to run down and look at it, but I do know the theme. Take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3 tonight, and we'll give you the theme here.
You want trains? I'll give you a train. Is that thing up yet?
No, it's not up yet. It's coming. Right now it says Ikea.
It's okay. Okay, now what?
Keep going. Go ahead. I think they already know it's about trains now.
So, we got trains. I'm going to give you trains. I'm going to tie your pastor up and put him against the railroad tracks. Can I have your help? Thanks. Excellent. Now, you got to turn. Oh, no. Hold on. I just need your fingers.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
This is good. Okay, perfect.
Now, this guy looks a lot like our radio manager.
I'm going to keep your pastor here. I'm going to tie your pastor to the railroad tracks unless...
Unless what?
Unless you call for Dudley Do-Right. Maybe the church will call for Dudley Do-Right. Can the church call...
You may...
Can the church call for Dudley Do-Right?
Dudley Do-Right!
Unhand that man of God, you villainous ne'er-do-well. It is I, Dudley Do-Right, defender of the Northern Territories and officer of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Saved by a Canadian.
Foiled again. All right, I don't want to tear that mic off there.
All right.
Now be gone. You know, Snidely has a point. There is a train coming, and that train is Restore-a-thon 2021. So make sure to open up your hearts and your wallets and punch your tickets March 4th, 5th, and 6th for Restore-a-thon going on the old-time way. And now I'm back to Canada.
Amen. Well, the last thing I expected was to be saved by a Canadian tonight, and but I do appreciate them doing the skit here. I think I'm going to go to the pulpit mic, guys, and I wasn't sure how far they were going to drag me away. They told me they were going to do this. I don't know if you saw that. The theme is going to be pressing on the old time way, and I think that's a good theme for us this year. Railroad idea. Philippians 3 is the verse that we're going to use, and we'll use it tonight in our message. I hope you will begin to pray. We're about, just a few days away here, just within that two-week mark here of trying to look forward to Restore-a-thon. Restore-a-thon, for those of you that have never been through one, is revival on the radio. That's what we call it. And it does take a lot of praying, listening, and giving, amen, to keep the radio on air. And it takes everybody. It takes all of us, people from all over the country and really all over the world, not only listening, but they give to keep us on the air. And so it is. It's really, we call it Restore-a-thon because we restore the budget every year within those 3 days. And we're praying that God, through his people and through our prayers and through our actions and giving, will do it again, amen? And so... pressing on the old time way is what we want to preach on tonight. A tape room, you guys can take that as a title, and then we will. I was afraid to keep the wireless mic on. I may take off if I had that thing on tonight. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us here in Philippians chapter 3, a very familiar verse and one that we all know. But again, I want to kind of take it from a perspective and read from the verse that we're using as our main verse for Restore-a-thon, and then preach a message on pressing on the old time way. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we do thank you again for tonight, God, that we're able to come into your house, God, that we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior. For so many of our folks that are here tonight, dear God, they come because they want to hear from you. They want to hear from your word, God. And I pray that, Holy Spirit of God, that you would do a work that I can't do, that you'd go into the hearts of the hearers, Lord, that you'd take your word, and then you'd find good ground, and you'd help us, God, each one that are saved, to do and walk closer to you than we ever have before. God, I pray for those that maybe came in tonight that don't know that they're on their way to heaven, that tonight would be the night of salvation for them. But God, I pray even now for Restore-a-thon, even though it seems such a far way off, Lord, would be here just around the corner. And I pray, God, that you take care of us again, that you do it again like you have all the years that we can look back and how you've done it, God, and help us not to do it a newfangled way, but do it the old-fashioned way, the old-time way. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Philippians chapter 3, I want to read some verses to you here, but again, that first verse that we'll read in verse 14 is that text verse, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul under the inspiration of God writing to the Philippian church, and he's writing here trying to say that he's had some things. My life verse is just a few verses before this, and not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He's talking about, man, I've been saved, and now I got something to get after. Man, I've been saved, and I know that I'm on my way to heaven, and the one that, I mean, I wasn't necessarily looking for him, but he was looking for me, and he came and died on Calvary and paid for me, and his Holy Spirit was calling and drawing me unto himself, and when I received him as my own, ever since then, the one that apprehended me, boy, I've been trying to apprehend him. I want to know more about him. I want to serve him. I want to be after him in this life. And so he comes to this place and he tells us about that prize of the high calling. I press towards the mark. With our Restore-a-thon, a lot of times when we give, sometimes we give to the mission goal. And we give to different things that we want to get the gospel around the world. And I mean nothing else. I mean, I'm telling you, nothing else I know reaches and can reach as far as the radio ministry. We send missionaries around the world when we can't go. But that radio ministry on the internet, it can go around the world constantly. And we believe in it. Other places, they're telling folks to go to this thing. You say, well, it's in English. Well, I did hear once, I think a preacher came here, Brother Tom Sexton said once from this pulpit, that at one time, the one-third of the earth speaks English. And another third of people that are alive are learning English. And so it's only one-third of the world's population that our radio cannot reach, that it can't be profitable to. And so again, for us, we giving and thinking about the thing, man, I want you to understand there is profit in it. Sometimes we don't think about how, we think about it as our own, but again, it's a great gospel tool. I can't tell you how many people that have found their way into this building because they listened to the Landmark Hour, and they heard our preacher preach, and they realized there's something different about him, and they say, I gotta see that man. I've gotta come and see who that preacher is that I've heard on the radio over and over again, and they'd come into the building, and so many times fall under conviction after they've heard him preach over and over and over again, but there's something different about being in an old-time church and having an old-time invitation, the drawing of the Lord on your soul. And again, I've watched so many of them visit because of the radio. And so we see it not only here, but all over the place, we see the profit of it. But here he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He gives us this idea of going forward. He gives us this idea of moving in a direction that's the right direction. If we're going to move in a direction, I don't want to turn off and get off the rails, if we could say it that way tonight. If we can think of that mindset of a railroad, that there's a lot of times that, you know, the tracks, well, we could get off the tracks. And if you know anything about a train, if you get it off its tracks, it's in trouble, man. It can't go. It's not going to have the effectiveness that it once had. And the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ and his church, when it gets off the rails, it's in trouble too. And we need to keep on keeping on the old time way. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect. That doesn't mean we're perfect, folks. It just means that with right doctrine. All right, he's saying that you've been made perfect by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it even unto you, even this unto you. Nevertheless, look at verse 16, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. Paul is saying to them, and I've preached this before, and I know you've heard it before, before, but he's just saying if we're going to press towards a mark for the prize of the high calling of God, if we're going to try to get to that place where we hear well done, if we want to get to the judgment seat of Christ and have rewards and riches there that I hopefully will stay and pass the test of time, you say, well, Brother Parsons, if we're going to have all that, then how are we going to do it? Well, the first thing that he's saying here is you're going to mark some people. I'm going to tell you, a long time ago, I marked Pastor Carter as one of the men that I believe that was a great example to me, and I marked what he did, and I looked and I said, that man is walking the old time way. He's still doing it the way the Bible. He's walking in the apostles' doctrine, if I could say it according to the scripture, Acts 2:42. And you say, Brother Parsons, is that how? I believe that. I believe that we ought to mark people that can help us. Doesn't mean that we ought to make them Jesus. I think we ought to keep our eyes on the finisher, the author and finisher of our faith, but so many times we need help. When I was a young boy, I would watch my dad and I watched how he cut things. I watched how he put things together. I watched how he measured things. I watched how he did all those things, and I learned to do some things with these two hands because I watched someone else do it. If you're going to be a good bus worker, then you're going to mark somebody that's a good bus worker and you're going to follow them. You're going to watch them. You're going to see what they do, and you're going to become a good bus worker if you do those things because they're an ensample to you. If you're going to be a good Sunday school teacher, some of you college students are a helper in a Sunday school class. If you're going to be the Sunday school teacher that you ought to be, you're going to find someone else and you're going to be assigned to them and you're going to watch everything that they do. And I'm not saying everything is going to be an example to you, but there's going to be some things that you can learn. You high school students, you got parents and you watch them and you mark them. I'm a parent. I'm not perfect. I can't say that I do everything perfectly, but there's some things my kids can learn if they'd watch me. There's some things that you high schoolers could learn from your teachers if you just watch them. You're here in the Christian school, you ought to watch these people as they serve the Lord. You ought to watch them, and I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm saying that some of them can be in samples to you if you just look up to them and watch them. The problem with the day and age that we live is, and I'm going to get you, it's not been any different. I grew up in a generation ago, I could go back a couple more generations, but I grew up a while ago, and I remember that the world wasn't perfect then. And I can remember the world wasn't worth following then. Can I just say, sometimes when we're talking about the old time way, sometimes we need to define what it ain't before we can tell you what it is. If we're going to walk in the old time way and the old paths of this life and press on the way we ought to go, then we got to have some things we got to know that it ain't. And number one, it's not the way of the world. The old time way is not the way of the world. The church, and I'll say this, Brother Perkins, if you could help me just for a minute, I'm going to try to not go too far away from the pulpit. This is an old time illustration that you've seen before. Come on right up here, my brother. And so if Brother Perkins was the world, because I don't want to be the world, I'm going to be the church, all right? And so when the church got started, it had some distance and it kept at arm length. If the world takes a step that way, and the church stays where it is, the old time way, then who moved, the world or the church? The sad problem in today's world is as the world moves, the church moves. It moves its standards. It moves its doctrine. Sometimes it moves its, it compromises and moves. And the church moves and the world moves. And the world moves and the church moves. Thank you, Brother Perkins. You say, Brother Parsons, it's not like that. I've watched that my whole life. I've watched churches that give in a little bit in little areas thinking they're going to reach the world if they get a little closer to it. But it's not our closeness to the world that makes us what I would consider attractive to the world, but it is our differences. It is the difference between the church. It's the difference between the Christian. It's the difference in our music. It's the difference in our speech. It's the difference in the hope and the joy that we have that the world cannot manufacture and cannot have. It can't have it long lasting. Folks, old time Christianity is not going the way of the world. Amen and amen. And on a Valentine's Day, we could go all the way to 1 John chapter 2 and we could read that we're not supposed to love the world, neither the things that are in this world. Too many times in this life as Christians, we get caught up in the things that people around us. You know, we rub off. We make the wrong people in samples, as we already begin to see. We love their cars. There's nothing wrong with cars. I like to drive a car. I like to drive a truck. I could go on and I could waste my time tonight talking about a double cab, four-wheel drive, diesel. I mean, you know, I could take some time and I could tell you about some things that in the flesh that maybe would be something that's advantageous, or a fast car, something that we could, again, would give us a short amount of happiness, but not true joy. I'm just here to tell you, folks, the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We use the things of the world. This church owns buses. They're things of the world, but we use them to go pick up children and bring them to church. We use pews and wood and books, and we use all kinds of things that the world has, but our books have different words in them. Our songs are played to a different tune. Amen and amen. The old-time way isn't going the way of the world, and the old-time way isn't going the way of the wayward. Can I just say this? The old-time way isn't a way of compromise. There are people that'll tell you, if we could just compromise in this one little area, boy, the building would be packed and we'd overflow if we just give up on this one thing. And maybe you think it would be, but it wouldn't be the old-time way. Well, so I don't agree with that. I don't have conviction. I heard an old-time preacher say, you want some conviction, go rob the bank down the street and the police will give you conviction. You don't need Holy Spirit conviction where you've got Bible-based scripture. In your clothing, you can give yourself a mark on your body, which is right and what you should cover up. Amen and amen. We don't need to compromise in our dress. It makes us different than the world. They can tell that we're different. I told you a little story this morning. Some of you might not have been in there, but there was a fellow across the street that said, hey, preacher. And he didn't call me over there because I was wearing a wife beater and a pair of shorts. He hollered out to me because I was wearing a full suit with a tie, and he just mistook me. I didn't know him from Adam, but he assumed that I was a preacher because I didn't look like the rest of the world. You say, well, Brother Parsons, I got to wear a three-piece suit. No, by your speech. Your speech will betray you to the world. They'll know you're a Christian because you say amen and praise the Lord, and you don't compromise in your dress and just simple things. I've walked in with my family into Walmart, and just because the way the group of us were dressed, not in shirt and tie, but modestly, people came up and said, you must be Christians. Amen. Not because we're at Walmart. I try to steer clear of that place. Amen. But out of necessity, we were there. Compromise. I heard somebody say, and again, for those of you, I'll tell you what I think compromise is. Somebody that would say, I am a recovering fundamentalist. I believe that is compromise. Say, Brother Parsons, you've heard people say that? I have heard people say that. Now, let me just explain to you why I don't understand why anyone would think that that's a good statement to say. Number one, recovering means you're trying to get over it. All right? You're trying to get away from it. Fundamentals are the fundamentals of the faith. And why in the world would anybody want to get over, amen, the blood atonement of Jesus Christ? Why would anybody want to get over the perfect Word of God? Why would anybody want to get over the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so on and so on. That's silly. That's trying to put a word out there to somebody to tickle the ears of those that don't want to hear preaching, but want to hear teaching and is prophetic from the Word of God. That they want to heap to themselves teachers that tell them what they want to hear, but not what the good, sound teaching of the Word of God is. That is compromise first class. Punch your ticket because you're on the train. God help us. I don't ever want to go that way. I want to press towards the mark of the high calling of God. I don't want to show up in my wife beater, in my shorts when I stand before Jesus Christ. He said, boy, if I keep my pure doctrine and I walk with him, one day I'm going to be robed in spotless white, not because of what I've done or the works, but because of what Jesus did. And I sure don't want to compromise the doctrine that he gave to the apostles when he walked with them and when he talked with them and when he taught them day by day and then turned them loose on the world. Why would I want to jump ship on what Jesus taught? Why would I want to jump ship on what Jesus did? I'm proud to be a part of a church that has held the doctrines true from day one when Jesus ascended into heaven until this day. And they still hold up the book and they still preach the blood and they're still looking for the blessed hope in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Brother Parsons, you're getting awful upset. Well, I'm telling you right now, why in the world would you want to mark as in samples the wayward? I'm not going to mark the world as the old time way, and I'm sure not going to mark the wayward. Along the way, I'm not going to mark the wacky. That ain't the old time way. When the Bible uses the word peculiar people, it don't mean that we're wacky people. I've already told you the 1828 dictionary of peculiar is that I'm a purchased vessel. I'm specific property of the Lord Jesus Christ. That peculiar means that I'm owned by somebody else, that I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Not wacky. You say, what would you be wacky? I'm talking wacky in doctrine. You know, there's some crazy stuff out there. Why in the world would you ever follow anybody that would take the apple of God's eye, is Israel, and replace it with the church? That's wacky doctrine. You can mark it as Catholic if you want to. That is wacky doctrine. That ain't the doctrine that Jesus taught. That ain't the doctrine that the apostles taught. Somebody jumped ship somewhere, folks. Somebody switched tracks, because we're talking about trains. Amen. They're not the old time way. We could go on and on and on. But we live in a day and age where you can pull up your magic box, as Preacher calls it, and take your cell phone. You can pull up every preacher under the sun and commit spiritual adultery against your church and your preacher and watch everybody teach every kind of wrong doctrine under the sun. And because they've got a good, maybe they got a good rhythm, or they got good music, or they got a good suit, you'll follow them instead of the book. That's right. That's good preaching. I'm telling you. We live in a day and age where it's real easy to heap to yourselves, teachers. You can draw them right up. Before, you had to go looking for them. Before, you had to get some mail order catalog that somebody left at your door and order some VH tape. I mean, some of you go back as far as beta. You had to order a beta tape then and figure out whether you still have one of them players around the house. Amen. Some of you go back far enough, you got an 8-track tape. You couldn't even watch it. You had to listen to it. Amen. Some of these college students go, what in the world is 8-track? Amen. I know he was talking about trains, but I didn't know he was going to get on an 8-track. What's that? All right, listen, I'm going to be in split sessions tomorrow. I'll tell you guys what 8-tracks are. Ladies, you're going to have to ask Miss Kelly. All right. I don't think she goes back that far. She may have to look it up in science class or something. So wacky. Wacky in their doctrine. How about the weird? I ain't going to follow the weird. Say, Brother Parsons, there ain't nobody weird. Are you kidding me? Hey, man, I had somebody tell me that the only thing you could wear was a black suit and a white shirt and a black tie if you're going to be a preacher. Because otherwise, you're just attracting the women. I said, what? I said, brother, I think you got a wrong focus. Now, I'm just going to tell you. You know, as preacher would say, I want to keep my focus right. I don't want to get weird. I don't want to get lopsided. You know, we think about trains and a big load. I've hauled some loads on a truck before. And I mean, you need to load the thing in the center. You need to keep the load right on the truck. Because, I mean, you turn the corner, you got her loaded too heavy to one side, and you'll find out, folks, it'll lean hard to one side. And it ain't no different with people. There's people, listen, keep your load right. Keep your mind right. The Bible said this, keep your mind right. We're all supposed to be of the same mind in this church. Don't get lopsided. Don't get running so far on one thing and you think that's the most important thing. Listen, everything that has to do with the gospel of the Jesus Christ is the right thing. Listen, you staff members, you need to listen to this. My preachers had to preach this over and over again. I got to learn this firsthand because I became the maintenance man when I came here to the church. And I was in college, and I watched how everybody thought their ministry was the most important ministry. I need you to run over here and change my light bulb right now. Well, this place over here, I could tell them, over here, you know, people about to fall through the floor. And I need to fix that before I change your light bulb, all right? Or maybe you could get one of them guys in your office that ain't doing nothing right now to get up there and change the light bulb themselves. Amen and amen. 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 You say, Brother Parsons, You being mean. I ain't started yet. Amen and amen. When I talked about just, you know, we talked this morning about being a man in a fist fight. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm just going to be plain, all right? I'm ashamed when I got to call somebody to help me. You say, Brother Parsons, you ought not be that way. I know I ought not be that way. Talk to my dad. He ruined me a long time ago. I'm telling you, I'd have to come up, and I watched him as he got older. I mean, he wouldn't even, I mean, listen now. After a while, he'd say, boy, do this. Amen? But I mean, he taught me some things. I'd be ashamed if I didn't know how to change my oil. Now, I get somebody else to change my oil now because of time. Try to balance what I can make and where I'm doing, but I'd be ashamed if I didn't know how to do it. I'd find somebody to teach me how to do that. You say, Brother Parsons, you ought not be that. You ought not say that from the pulpit. Well, when you get up here, you don't say that, all right? When it's your turn, don't say it. There's some things that I want to, I mean, if I'm going to do something for the Lord, I especially am not going to get out of focus. I don't want to get unbalanced. I want to make sure as I serve the Lord that I remember that this is one big wheel and it's centered spoke. The hub of this thing is the local church and everything that we do, the curriculum, it has a purpose and it serves in that wheel. And the college is a part of that wheel. The day school is a part of that wheel. Everything, Sunday school, we could go down all the different ministries. And even tonight, with a little bit of focus towards a radio, it's a part of our ministry. And yes, we'll give it some focus, but it'll run the rest of the year and you'll hardly ever hear about it. But I hope you're listening. I hope you're praying for it. Don't forget that it exists. Be a part of everything that's going on here. Boy, I tell you what, many of you, you say, well, I've never been a teacher. I don't serve in the day school. I hope you pray for them. I tried to go back in there. I served as a teacher in my home school. I have enough trouble teaching college students now. I went back and tried to teach a high school class, and man, I thought I was going to kill them. I'm telling you. And they begged me to come in there. One time I said, hey, y'all be quiet. Listen, you asked me to come here. They were like, I'm here to tell you. Them school kids, you know, you send them off every day and you just like, when they get out of the car and you leave them with them teachers. Amen. Hey, I'm just telling you, we ought to pray for each other, but don't get out of whack. Don't think one thing is more important than the other. Everything is important. It's all trying to press the gospel forward. Every bit of it's trying to serve the Lord. Pray for your brother in Christ. When you hear that they have a need, man, I need this. Well, the bottle, you're telling me that there ain't no floor over in that place? Man, God help them. That my little bulb issue ain't no big deal. You get back to me. Now, when it's air conditioned, bless God, in Florida, that's a big deal. You say, well, I remember back when there wasn't no air conditioning. I'm thankful that I was born in this space of time. In the annals of history, once air conditioning was invented. Hey, man, we could go down through that. We can get excited. But I'm telling you right now, you say, Brother Parsons, you're majoring, you're parking here. I'm just telling you, I have been around long enough to realize that people, good people, can get weird. Good people sitting in a place just like this can get off on the wrong, heavy on one side. And you know, I've noticed this. If you've seen an accident on the road when something ain't right, I mean, it ain't loaded just right. See a truck, ain't loaded, something falls off of it. Sometimes it don't even hurt the truck that wasn't loaded right. It hurts people all around it. Sometimes when it causes an accident because it ain't loaded right, it runs into other people that were just trying to go the right way, the old time way. Folks, we're not an island to ourselves. When we don't keep the main thing, and we get out of whack and we start talking about it, we hurt other people around us. And mark her down, friend. When you go, you'll take somebody with you. It's just the way it is. God help us that we focus on those things. And he says here, he gives us some things. Nevertheless, in verse 16, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Say, how do you want to walk, Brother Parsons? Preacher, how do you want to walk? I want to walk worthy. You know the scripture? Three times, Paul's going to talk about a walk here, but three times in the scripture, he's going to talk about how to walk worthy as a Christian. If I'm going to walk the old time way, you say, how would you mark that down, Brother Parsons? It'd be walking worthy of the Lord. Say, do you think you can walk? Well, Jesus put it in his book. I think if he put it in his book, there's a way to do it. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I want you to see just a couple of these things, and we'll head for home. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. It'd be all right if we use the Bible tonight, won't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I remember my dad hollering at me about things sometimes, and I used to think, man, he's being hard on me. But he did that because he loved me. He didn't want to just teach me. He didn't just want to leave me so I didn't know things. He wanted me to learn how to be a worker. He wanted me to learn how to, not just how to be a worker, but how to do some things. Because one day he knew I wasn't going to have him anymore. That he wasn't going to be there to do it for me anymore. Do you know that there's folks all around us, you know, in the church? Folks, how many of you could look around and say, you know, I was a Sunday school student, and now I'm the Sunday school teacher. Can I tell you my reality? You know, I mean, I'm thankful that our preacher's going to come back into town and give me help when we get to Restore-a-thon and all those things. But I'm here to tell you, I've found another level of walking. When you're walking, I want to walk worthy of the vocation where I'm called. And we're headed there, folks. But that's not just one person. The whole church has to do that. The church has to walk with God. The church has to realize that there's a walk the old time way, and we all got to go together in the same direction. We got to press towards that high calling of God. We got to press towards the mark that God has set for all of us to meet. And he says here, he gets here in chapter number 2 and verse number 11, he says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged you, every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. God desperately wants us, amen, desperately wants us to bring him glory. That's why he created us. That's why he redeemed us. And that's why he left us here, to give us opportunity to serve him. And as we press towards a mark, that walk that we need to walk is one that would be worthy of the Savior. And that sure ain't going to be walking the pace of the world or the direction of the world. It ain't going to be walking with the wayward. It's going to be walking the old time way with the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. He not only tells us to walk worthy there, but in Colossians chapter number 1, he's going to tell us that we can do it. He's saying here in the beginning of the chapter to the church at Colossae, he's telling them in verse 9 that he prayed for them, that this might happen for them. He's saying, I earnestly prayed for you. He's going to tell them that. And without ceasing, do not cease to pray for you, he says. In verse 10, he says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Can I just give you this here? Many of us sometimes mix this up. Do you know what the fruits of the Spirit are, right? Amen. Love, joy, peace. Those are fruits of the Spirit, not of the Christian. You know what a fruit of a Christian is? Another Christian. Amen and amen, Brother Parsons. That's good preaching right there. How am I going to walk worthy and please the Lord? That I'm going to be telling other people about him. You say, well, Brother Parsons, I'm not good at that. Man, I tell you what, if I wasn't the greatest soul winner, which I'm not, there are better soul winners in this building than I am. I'm not good one-on-one all the time, but there are divine appointments like I had this week where somebody's looking for it. And I'll knock the door and I'll tell people and invite them to church. But I've been with other people, man. They're much better. I watch the Lord just work through them, and they're just very good at soul winning one-on-one. But I can tell you this. I want to be a part of all of the ways that God tries to get the gospel out. I may not be able to, but I can support the radio. It gives the gospel through preaching. Those guys will pray for people. I mean, you say, Brother Parsons, you're beating a dead horse. No, really, folks. I want to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. There's a lot of different ways to be a part of good work around the Landmark Baptist Church. And as a member, boy, we ought to find a place to fall in and get to it. I've had people tell me, Brother Parsons, I'm not healthy like I used to be, but I pray for you. I pray for Pastor Carter. I pray for the radio station. I pray for the day school. Listen, we need prayer warriors. We need servants. We need givers. And we need goers. in every good work. We need people in every different area. And you say, Brother Parsons, you just preached on the body of Christ. And I think we need it. Boy, if we ever quit preaching that God wants us to go and to do and to please Him by walking worthy, pressing towards a mark of the prize of the high calling of God, then listen, then we forgot to remind you all the time that that's God's plan, that that's the work that we're in, to encourage us to get in on what God wants for us. That's His best. That's His best, folks. You say, Brother Parsons, walking worthy? Yes, he says, in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let me ask you this, folks. This book, and we've talked about reading the book, but I want to increase in the knowledge of this book. It's my job to be fruitful. But one of the ways that I walk worthy of an almighty God who died for me, who sent His Son to pay for my sin. And I just want you to understand that when I grow in the knowledge of Him, it makes me, on Valentine's Day, can I just tell you, it makes my heart grow fonder to see Him face to face. The more that I learn about Him, it doesn't discourage me. It gets me excited about Him. It doesn't discourage me. I get excited. That is, He could be here tomorrow. I'm excited that He could be here tonight. I get excited that, boy, I don't have that much more time to serve Him. That don't slow me down. Say, well, if Jesus is coming back, listen, we don't know when He's coming back. I know it could be tomorrow, but you say, well, if He's coming tomorrow, why should I give to the radio station for a whole nother year? Because I'm going to tell you this. I'm honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. What if it just played one more day and the last soul got saved? Number one, you don't need that money anyway. We're checking out. Amen. Number two, you were a part of the last one. You got the last fruit that there was to get, and it went to your account. You say, Brother Parsons, you really believe that? I sure wouldn't be preaching it if I didn't. Amen. I want to walk worthy of Him. Turn with me to Ephesians. The last reference I want you to see here in Ephesians, I want you to see this about walking worthy. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Paul's going to put himself, as he writes to the church at Ephesus, he's going to put himself in perspective for you. He's going to put himself in perspective for those that were going to read this letter firsthand in the church to him. He says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Some of us, sometimes we start thinking about our circumstances. Boy, I can't walk. The Apostle Paul walked circles around so many Christians, and he did it from around his cell. Writing, reading, and being obedient. See, walking worthy of God doesn't always have to be the road that we travel. Sometimes it can be in a stationary position. Sometimes it's from our knees. Sometimes it's just calling somebody. Sometimes it's just calling the radio station and saying, I want to be a part of this thing. You say, Brother Parsons, man, you're getting after it. Now, I'm just serious about this thing, folks. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. This is one of my favorite books in all of the Bible to encourage me in the depth of doctrine that is found in this book. And to think that a man wrote it from prison and it's helping me all these years down the road. To realize that it's his walk of being worthy and having fruit was from a jail cell. He was confined. People would say, oh, he can't do anything for the Lord. He did. He pressed on towards the the mark of the prize, the high calling of God. He pressed on. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, he writes to the church at Ephesus, but he's writing to the church. Now, when we talk about the body and every one of us, sometimes we miss it. So, but one of the things that I used to be a part of, I went to Vo-Tech in high school. I'm not going to have you raise your hand to how many people know what Vo-Tech is, but I learned a skill in high school. They gave me an option to keep on taking math, reading, writing, and arithmetic, or I could go learn something that I could do with my hands. And I said, get me out of here. And little did I know when I got there, they told me I had to take applied math. I took plumbing. They drugged me into a room and taught me calculus and trigonometry. They made me figure volume of the pipe and how much of weight that would fill that thing up and all these different things. Man, they tricked me. I'm here to tell you, they got me. But you know what? That talking about learning and being more knowledgeable, God wants every one of us to have a vocation for Him. Something that He uses us for. And I'm not talking about where we get paid in the church, but something that's our job. And I've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it, but I mean, there are people that stand in the parking lots and watch over this place on Sunday morning and even tonight to make sure that unsavory characters don't bust in the doors and attack our people. They watch all the doors. There are people that are changing diapers right now. As you're getting to sit here and enjoy the good word of God, people are serving to make sure that we can be here and listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But some of you, you do those things on rotation. There are people broadcasting. So people that are sitting home, there are people up in that room making sure that it's going over the air. And so many times, every one of those people have their own vocation. Some people serve in the day school all week because that's what God called them to do. But whatever it is that God speaks to you about and He reaches into your heart and He says, you've got this talent, it's my talent, and I want you to work it for me, and I want you to be a part for me, then walk worthy, because that's the mark that He set for you. That's the high calling that He has for your life. That's the prize that you need to attain in Christ Jesus. Every one of us, as we press towards a mark, need to seek what God has for us and where our niche is and what He's called us to, what our vocation is, and we need to press on the old time way, the way Jesus wants us to in this life. Heard a story. Maybe you've heard it too. Say, Brother Parsons, story. It won't be that long a one. April 1912. It's a big ship. I almost called it a boat, but that would be wrong, I guess. Titanic. You ever heard of that place? Amen, that thing. It's still resting at the bottom of the sea. They did fish some stuff out of it. That boat, April 1912, you know, I mean, we know the story about so many things about how it was. I mean, they pressed on and went way too fast trying to set records. And I got thinking about the message, and I know that we've had so many illustrations come from the Titanic, but I thought, man, that's a good picture of the Christian. You know, every one of us have a race for us to run, but much more in the scripture, rather than talking about running, it talks about walking. Walking worthy. And you know, I don't know about you, but I can do a pretty good walk. You ever tried to walk as fast as you can? Amen. I realize it's less impact on my body when I walk as fast as I can instead of running. And I've run some paces, but they tried to run full bore, warning after warning after warning. I mean, you're in icy waters. We've seen icebergs all around us, all these other boats that were out there, warning after warning after warning. And the captain said, steam on. And they kept chugging and they kept chugging and they kept chugging. And you know the story. I mean, they ripped a 300-foot hole in the side of that boat and she was going down, friend. The unsinkable ship was sunk. But that's not the real tragedy. Because just when they were in trouble, and they didn't, there wasn't nothing they could do. They were going down. I mean, it was settled. They were on the way to the bottom of the ocean. But even with the 300-foot hole in her, it took her a while to sink. 12 miles away was a ship called the Californian. Distress call after distress call after distress call went out over the radio from the Titanic. For over an hour, okay? They called until she went down, until they lost power, folks. The Californian, just a few minutes before they hit the iceberg, the radio man took his headset off and set it down on the table, and he went to bed. The only ship that was close enough to steam to her and save people before the ship went down was the Californian. And it was a distress call. It was a message that went unheard. I think about this, folks. So many times as we try to press on the old-time way, I wonder how many folks, how many churches that an old-time preacher preached to them to hold the line and to stay right. That there's a lost and dying world, And it may not seem it today in your life, but because you're faithful, one day the call is going to come for you to come and save them. The call is going to come for you to be fruitful and for you to go, for your vocation to be needed. Sometimes we don't like being in that holding pattern. We don't feel like we are being used to our ultimate capacity. And the California sure wasn't. She had room for every one of those people. She could have saved every one of them. They were only at about half their capacity. You say, Brother Parsons, what do you mean? I'm just saying, for us, sometimes as Christians, we'll go, we've already drawn the line in the sand. That's how far I'll go, God. Instead of following his mark that he's made for our life, we'll mark our own. And we'll feel like that's enough. I've done my duty. Was that God talking or you? I've walked my last mile. Did God say that or did you say that? I've given my last dollar. Now, I'm not trying to drag it out of you tonight. I don't know what's going on between you and God tonight, but I know this, that God wants our best. And he wants every mile that he had designed us for. In that vocation that he got for us, I mean, listen, every one of us, God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and he has a walk that he will put worthy on the back end of. And I don't want to stop one step short of having not just the walk, but worthy of my Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, would you stand with me? If you're here and God spoke to your heart, would you just step out and come? Don't wait for the pianist. Don't wait for Brother Bert to begin singing. Just step out and come. Maybe you're here and you need to be saved. You don't know if you died today that you go to heaven. And I didn't preach necessarily a salvation message, but you can get saved tonight if you don't know you're on your way to heaven. All you got to do is take the walk down an old-fashioned aisle and receive Jesus Christ the old-time way. If you're like that tonight, will you meet me in the front? I'll take your hand and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Brother Bert's going to sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Think about the words, folks.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow.
Sing it with us, folks.
Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Amen. We have Restorethon coming, and there's a lot of things to do, a lot of vocations to fill, amen, a lot of opportunities. One of the things I've always loved, one of the reasons that God brought me to this place, and I fell in love the first Wednesday night that I sat way back in that corner over by the nursery door. My wife and I slipped in and stayed for the service. One of the things that I loved about this place was it was headed the old-time way. I came from an old-fashioned church with an old-fashioned preacher that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I came here, I found out that this place was full of the same kind of people doing the same kind of thing. But they had a college that would train me to do it better, that would teach me in the knowledge of God. And I packed my family up and I moved across the country to be a part of this place. Folks, I tell you what, sometimes we don't think about what God has done for us and where God has brought us. And he just wants everybody. I mean, he wants every one of us. My heart's desire for every one of you is for you to be right in the middle of God's will, doing exactly what he wants you to do, right where he wants you to do it. I hope you understand that. Sometimes a preacher, I know my preacher, I've had my preacher I grew up under. Boy, sometimes I thought he was hard. Man, that guy's hardcore. He's hard on us. But I can tell you what, he made me the man I am today because he preached the book and just kept me going. And I thank you for this, that I surrender all. I'm thankful for all the times that God twisted and pulled on my heart to where I finally surrendered to him. And I got in his will and in his way. I want to press on the old time way. Amen. For Restore-a-thon and in the church and all our ministries. And so you be praying about it if you would. And listen to the radio station. They're going to be doing some funny things on there for the Restore-a-thon as it comes up. And just pray about it. When you hear one of those spots on the radio, pray about it. Pray about what God's going to do and what you'll give and how you'll take part. And then, you know, I know it's a long way off, but I know that y'all make plans for like a whole year. So let me say this, that Saturday of Restore-a-thon, we want you to bring your kids there and make them a part of it. One of the things I've learned in this life is if you don't make your kids a part of what you're doing, they don't learn it. They don't get a love for it. They don't want to take part of it like you do. So take your kids there. Show them what it's all about. Tell them about it. Let them give something. Even if it's just a little something, let them give something. It'll be good for them to be a part of it and every part of the ministry. Amen? All right, do this for me now. Turn to somebody beside you and say, boy, I thank God for you. And then go home.
Amen. I thank God for you.